topic today is there's a prohibition in the Torah which is known as Ubechukai Seyem Lo Seylechu, and we're going to try and probe the parameters of this prohibition. This is not a halacha l'maaseh shir. That's not the goal over here. For that you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi, which I don't claim to be. I'm local and I'm Orthodox and I'm a rabbi, but I'm not your local Orthodox rabbi. But we'll try to understand the sugya. Let's see what we can do with the sugya. Okay, so page number one, we see the pasuk. The pasuk in Vayikra. It's blocked off. The actions, like the way the people in Mitzrayim did, you shouldn't do. So you shouldn't do like the actions of the people who live in Eretz Canaan, where I'm going to bring you to. And in their chukim, you should not go. So Rashi brings some chazal. Blocked off on the Rashi on the left column over there. So this is a Teres Kahanim. It's Safra, which is a medrash of a halachic medrash of Chazal. What was left out? It says don't do like their actions. So A, it says don't do like their actions. I already said that. B, it's going to make a list of everything that they did, the riots that they did, and the vodazor that they did, and different things that they did. See your fucking. So what's left out that we need to make a special prohibition called Ubechukaseyem Lo Seylechu? Elo Nimoisus Shalehen. These are their Nimusim, which is the Nimusis, their etiquettes. The Borim HaChukim Lehem, the actions which they have designated to do. Kikon Tartiois, the Beit Tadiois, for example, would be the theaters and their stadiums, etc. It's referring to that the Gemara says, most common the place the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara says there are certain things that the Amorim, the non-Jewish people, used to do for refuah purposes and strange types of incantations, etc., which the Gemara says would be called Darkei Amori. And Rameir is saying that they go under the prohibition of Ubechukaseyem Lo Seylechu. You cannot go when they're chukim. So we're left after reading this Rashi, reading the pasuk. Not very clear exactly what we're referring to. Let's see what we're going to come up with. So there are a few Gemaras which really talk about this pasuk. If you look at if you have a there's a Chumash which has printed something called it says in it Tuf Aleph, usually a little print over there. It stands for Toldos Aharon. Toldos Aharon was a sefer, and he would write every pasuk which is written in Chumash where it's mentioned in the Gemara. So if you look over there, you'll find it's mentioned three places in Shas. This pasuk Ubechukaseyem Lo Seylechu is mentioned three places in Shas. We're going to actually look at two of the three places. Let's see where it's mentioned in the Gemara. So we'll start with the Mishnah, which doesn't mention the pasuk, but we need that for the background. So page number two takes us to a Mishnah in the Sefer Avodah Zarah, which the first Mishnah in the Sefer Avodah Zarah said that prior to and post the holidays. The holiday season where they celebrate their Avodah Zarah, there's a prohibition of interaction of commercial transactions, etc., with the non-Jews, because they would use that for beautifying or for their Avodah Zarah or thanking their Avodah Zarah that they had done such good commerce, etc. So Mishnah says, so what are these holidays? These are the holidays. And it makes a whole list. So looking at the Mishnah on page number two, so the Mishnah says, the next line it says, one of them is Yom HaMisa. The day that the king would die would become a day that they would make it a religious service. And that religious service, therefore, now is going to go into the prohibition of the first Mishnah that you can't have commerce with them at that point in time. Diva Rameir. The Chachamim say, well, depends. Kol misa sheyesh bo sreifa, yesh bo avodas hachavim. Mishein bo sreifa, ein bo avodas hachavim. The prohibition we're dealing with over here is that this is going to be part of a religious service to avodah zarah, and therefore it's prohibited. So a time when the king would die and they would make a whole production out of it, they would take his properties and burn it together with in front of his bier. So in that situation, so that was a religious service, and therefore you cannot interact with them commercially. If there wasn't sreifa, then there was no prohibition of interacting with them commercially, according to the Chacham. So again, this is not a chusam l'shalech. The issue of this right now is an issue of commercial interaction, which would benefit avodah zarah in some way. So that's the Mishnah on Daf Ches. The Gemara, page number 3, the Gemara comes back to this Mishnah and says, let's understand the arguments. So if the Chachamim say that there's a avodah zarah involved when there's sreifa, and no avodah zarah involved when there's no sreifa, when they do this act of burning things by the beer, that's considered a avodah zarah and otherwise not. So what's Rameir's position? He says it's always prohibited. So more than the cloud, Rameir saw lishna misa sheyesh b'sreifa, lishna misa she'en b'sreifa. There's no difference whether the scenario of the funeral there was this act of burning items or not. Polchi b'lavad esachovim. We have to assume that it's a religious service. So alma sreifa lav chukihi. So we're seeing that the sreifa wasn't the designated action which was necessary for the religious service. Which means that the Chachamim who are arguing is saying no, that the Sreifa is the designated action. So now what's the problem with that? V'hatanya, we learned in Abraisa that for Jewish kings you're allowed to be Sreifa ala Molochim. You're allowed to, when a Jewish king dies, you want to take his items and burn them in front of the burial procession by the funeral. You want to burn that. That's a covenant for the king that his items are not going to be used by anybody else, and it's proper to do. And that's what you're allowed to do that. It's not considered darchei mori, and that's not considered following the non-Jewish ways. But if you can tell me this is considered the established fact, that this is how they define their religious service, and then hechi sarfin, and how can we do it? We cannot follow their actions. We cannot do the same type of cloak that they did. So here's the first Gemara, where the Gemara brings this pasuk in, and says that since this is an action that they do, we cannot do it. That's the Gemara's question. So Gemara says, Ella, the truth is the kuliyama sefilav kukihi. Ella chashivusahi. It's not done because it's a chayik. It's done because it's a chashivus. Says we'll go along. We'll see that the definition of a chayik is something like we know. The Torah uses the word. There's a chayik. A chayik is something which doesn't have necessarily the logic behind it. Right over here, there's a logic. This is considered a chashivus for the king, that his items obviously they're not proper that somebody else should use. Therefore, they have to be removed and burned together with him. So it's showing a chashivus for the king, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So what's the argument in our Mishnah? The question is there religious service involved in it or not? Okay, so that's this Gemara. So Gemara comes along and says a very important the delineation over here, that if it's something which is logical, it's a chashivus, it's not prohibited. Something which does not have a logic behind it, it's prohibited. That's the Gemara over here in avodah zarah. The Tosfos is going to raise a question based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So before we see the Tosfos, let's see the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is on page 4. So the Mishnah over here is discussing. We know that there are different ways. It's going through the Lara Leno, somebody who would transgress one of the Averis in the Torah, which the Bezin has to give a capital punishment. So one of the types of capital punishment was called Nerogim, which means a person would be killed by the sword. So the Mishnah discusses, what did they do? How do they do that? The Torah doesn't say clearly how you do it. It says you kill him with the sword. What does that mean? So the Mishnah has two opinions how to do it. So one is that they would. Neither one sounds very, very pleasant. Anyway, something more. Something more. Omer lehem Rabbi Yehuda the Chachamim. Chachamim said that Rabbi Yehuda's approach how to do it was a misa menuvelasi. It's a very disgusting way of killing somebody. But what's my choice? The other way that you're suggesting to do is the way the goyim do it. We can't do it the same way the goyim do it. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's argument. Even though what I'm suggesting is not a good idea, what you're suggesting is a better idea. So here we're saying that there's a logic behind what the Chachamim say. Right? So here we have a case where it's not a chayik, it's a logical thing. And if Yehuda argues, well, but it's Chukisayim, Lo Yisalechel, you can't do that thing. Well, what we just said before, that we're in Avodah Zarah, that if it's logical, there's no prohibition of Chukisayim, Lo Yisalechel. Yehuda over here is clearly saying, listen, I hear you. You're right. What I'm saying is not a good idea. What you're saying is a better idea, makes more sense. But it's a chay, and you can't do it, because the Goyim do it. So what's going on in the Gemara? And what's Rabbanan's answer? Rabbanan's answer is, Kivan the Ksiv Saif Beraisa, Lomina Kogamina. You're right. Theoretically, if we would, even though it's a logical thing, but if we would have said, wow, they're doing, that's a great idea, and we'd learn it from them, would be prohibited. We're not learning it from them. We figured it out on our, we figured it out on our own. So I'm not prohibited to come up with my own idea and say, then look next door and say, wait, they're doing the same thing and make it usher. I figured it out myself. That's okay. But if I learned it from them, even though it's logical, is going to, their agree would be prohibited. So we have a wholly, totally different view of Chukasem Lashalechu in the Gemara Sanhedrin than we have in the Gemara Avodah Zarah. Right? Kim the Ksiv Saiv Beraisa Loimina Kogarmina. Dilotei Mahachi. And the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. That this argument is true. That's something which we do not derive from somebody else because it's Ksiva Beraisa. We got it from Pasuk in the Chumash ourselves. We didn't learn it from the Goyim. Is Mutter. Where do I see that? The Tanya, Surfin al Malachim, we know that the Halach is, well, you're allowed to take items when the person, the king dies, you're allowed to burn them as part of the funeral procession. But Lomi Darkemer, it's not considered like the Goyim. So, Hecher Surfinan, how can you do it? You're doing like the Goyim. The Goyim do the same thing. So, what's the answer? Kivan the Ksiv, Strafe, Beraisa. It's a possible Chum, and Navi, really. The Ksiv, Misus of Vesecha, Laminai Kogarminan. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that the point why Sreif al Malachim is mutter because it's chashivusi, it's a logical thing. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says the reason why it's mutter because the pasuk says so, and we didn't learn it from the Goyim. Right, so we clearly have a theory between the two Gemaras. What do we do with these two Gemaras? That's going to be the question. Let's go back to page number 3. And that's Tosis's question over here. In Dibur Malos will be Chukah. We're not going to do the whole Tosis because our time is limited. So in order to answer this question between the two Gemaras, so the Tosis says makes the following distinction. So you look at the part of the Tosis which is we're looking at the Tosis v'chukahi hechesafina. You look about halfway down the Tosis, you see it's underlined. Lekach pirish ri. So the ri explains the following: the trei gavni chukah havu. There are two types of chukin. Echad sheosim l'shem chayk l'avodes kachafim. Some which is done as a form of their service for their avodah zarah. They think it's a, you know, interesting way to do something. There's no logic behind it, etc. Why? Not as a religious service, but that's what they do. And both of them go under the prohibition of Chukasayim Loisalech. One, if it's a religious service, you cannot do it. And some which they do because they do it. Why they do it? Because they do it. Right? Right? So it's also would be a problem. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is dealing with that the question was, this is a religious service, this is a religious service of burning the items at the funeral procession. It's an Avodah Zarah process. And that the more is, and then to skip down to the part which is underlined. Valvagav the Ksiva Beraisa Yesh Lesser. So even if we would have a pasuk of our own, so we have a pasuk. It says that Mitzvah of Pesecha that the time of the Malachim, the Jewish kings, they did this. Okay, now we're 500 years later, and we're living in the time of the Mishnah, and now the Goyim are doing that as a form of a Avodah Zarah. So it should now become Osir. Even though we have done it, it's Ksiva Beraisa, now it should become Osir. Where do you see that? We know that by Yaakov Avinu, this week's parasha, he made a Matzeva. We have a pasuk in Devarim that says you can't make a Matzeva. So Rashi says over there, what's that? Yaakov Avinu made a Matzeva. Once upon a time, it was not part of their service to Avodah Zarah, so it was permitted to do it. And now that they made it a part of their service to Avodah Zarah, it becomes Osir. So the same thing over here. Even though we did Masreifas way back in Sefer Malachim, but now that the Goyim are doing it as part of their Avodah Zarah, I'm sorry, you can't do it anymore. So that's the worst question over here in the Sefer Avodah Zarah. So even with Ksiva Beraisa, like the worst says, it's a Pasuk in Chumash, it's a Pasuk in Navi. Right, what do you want from me? Doesn't help. It's for Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara's answer was, no, it wasn't. It wasn't done for Avodah Zarah. It was done as a Cheshivas for the king. Umasik, again, I'm skipping down to the next underline. The Kung Amalav, Koiki, the Shema Varasachovim, it's not a Koik for the Varasachovim. Mikomachim, Koik, Havel, the Shtus, but it's not necessarily something which has a complete logic behind it. Now the gist over there, if you find your tests, right, he says, is it because of chashivas, like it says over here? And then the next line, Alvani Eloid Havaksiva Beraisa, Lahoyalan Lisnai Gafamin Hagan Shostrus. Even though it's a shtrus, but that's exactly what the Isser is. So we have two different prohibitions. There's one which is Chayk Be'Avodah Zarah, which doesn't help us the fact that it's illogical, doesn't help with the fact that it's a pasuk. You can't do what they do. Matzev is a great idea, I'm sorry, don't do it. There's another prohibition, which is don't do things which they do, which are minik shoshtus. Why? Because they do it. That's dark. Murray, you should not be doing that. And the Moor's answer is, well, I have a pasuk, so I'm not getting it from them. I'm having it based on a pasuk. Oh, that's fine. And it has a chashivas to it. That's what Tosfos answers this theorem. Okay. I'm going to skip pages 5 and 6.
Yeah. If it's just lies, but there's a pasuk for it.
So that's why it's mutter, because there's a pasuk.
It means
we have no logic behind it. But it doesn't make a difference, because we have a pasuk. Okay, now, take a look at page number 7. Okay. So page number 7, so we have the Ritva. The Ritva, just one little piece which is underlined. So Mio Akati Ikulamedik Ashmait, and we have a question in our Gemara over here. The Hokamash the call Hecha the Marta the Chukahi Kim Laksima Raisa Loya Siralon, the Laminagamina. Right? So now the question is not very clear what the question is, but he says that we have a seer between the Gemara over here and here in the Moran Sanhedrin, like that's how they explain the question of the Ritva. Ubatoisis tirtsu the sugin pligin adari vehidahasim ikir the hiduchta. The way the Ritva has the Toisus is that the main sugya is the Gemara Sanhedrin. It's actually it's an argument between the two Gemaras. The two Gemaras are arguing, and the main Gemara is the Gemara Sanhedrin, because that really was the main place where we discussed the concept of Chukasei Moshe Lechu, which means we'd follow Halacha Lamaisa, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which again meant, even though it's logical, if we were learning it from them, it's also. That's what would come out according to the Gemara Sanhedrin. Halacha Lamaisa. This is a very important Ritva. Okay. Let's look at page number 8, which is the Ran over here. The Ran says this point clearly. So it's the underlined part of page number 8, starts on the right column. Servant al Malachim lo darkei Murray, ain't the darkei Murray, lochush the loisasi kemasem. It's not, doesn't go into the prohibition of doing like their actions. The fish shaloi, osutar el chukais, shal the kamim, el dwarma shal hevel ubatola. Okay, so number 1, he says that they're hevel and batola. Number 2, he says, which they have, they're like strange. There's no logic behind them. Then he adds this point where there seems to be some need for Vadazor for that. Although Ram Shaltam, if it's something which is logical, sure, that's permitted. And by the case of you're burning something after the king dies, it makes sense. Least of the and clay tashmish, and we take the items which they have used, and we destroy them. As if to say, he was such a special person; nobody has a right to use what he used. His items were his personal tashmishim. You cannot pass on to anybody else. The king that goes, it's like buried with the king. You know, the Egyptians would bury certain things with the king. So we burn them, you know, we don't, not human beings, but, right, but their clothing and stuff like that, we don't pass that on to anybody else. So that's the logic. So that's how the Ran says it. The Ran adds the point, what the prohibition is, Hevel, Batola, and they have Tzarech HaBad HaSechavim. So he says 3 points. Okay, now let's see on page number 9, the Marik deals with, says basically almost the same point as the Ran. Marik was one of the chubas of the Rishonim, and he was asked a question like this. He asked a question that the doctors wear white coats. That became, and you know, since Jewish doctor, was he allowed to wear white coats? Like, why do I have to wear white coats? Why don't I wear green coats? Why don't I wear not coats at all? Like, where'd it come from? It's a chayik. There's no logic behind it per se. So why am I allowed to start wearing white coats because I became a doctor? Is that permitted or not? That was the question which he was asked. So it's a long tshuva, but along the lines he says like this. So he says let's look at the pasuk. It says b'chukei seim l'shelecho. The word chayik means something which is not logical. There's no logic behind it. So he says, again, we're going to look at the parts which are underlined. So page number 9, he brings, Rashi says, it's the things which they do without any logic. Okay, so that's the prohibition. Again, skipping to the next part which is underlined. The kimen shu'oysa davar mishuna, asher'ein by tam nigla. He's doing something which, it's strange. There's no real reason why we should believe he should do such a thing. El Shehem Noegim Cain. Why are you doing it? Because they do it. So you, Jew, are saying, well, the Goyim do it, I should do it the same thing. Why? It doesn't make sense to me, but they do it, let's do it. So you're following them. So you're going in their ways. You're following their chayk. Why are you doing that? Because you want to be part of the crowd. That's exactly the issue. Oz Nira Varai Kenim Shechachareim Umardalehem. It looks like you're following them. And you agree with what Dimlokain Loma Yasa do with Kedwar Matsumela. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? There's no logic behind it. You're doing it because they do it. So why are you doing it? Because you want to be like them. That's the issue. So the issue is Bukhazayim Loisalechu. That's how the Marik understands the issue. She says, therefore, if there's something which now there's a logic behind it. So, for example, his case of the doctor wearing the white coat. Well, listen, you know, why white? I don't know. But now that that says that there's a logic behind the way they should wear something unique and noticeable to indicate that they're the doctor. This is what people will give them the honor, the respect, and they get, you know, free parking for their car, right? Right? You want, you know, the doctor in the back in the medieval city was, you know, was one of the most cultured people in town. Everybody needed the doctor, right? So this is a way of being unique and outstanding, standing out amongst the people by wearing this special garment, that people would notice that he's the doctor and we give him the respect that the doctor would want to get.
Also, the patient will have confidence in the person that he's a real doctor, you know, he's not.
Okay, you could argue that also, right?
Plenty of logic,
Now, he says further down. So the word below, then he says, however, like this. I want. He brings a Gemara, which he brings a Chazal, really, to Sefta, which the way he explains it like this is: there are certain things which the goyim do. He says, now it's a new kanech. Let us say there's something that the goy does for a reason, but the reason is something which we don't really endorse. So again, he's doing this. We're back to the problem of following the goyish away. And that's the prohibition according to him. But he's saying there's a logic behind it. There's a logic which is a logic which we the Torah does not endorse. So you're back to the same problem. Even though there's a logic, it's a not acceptable logic. So why are you doing it? Because you want to be like that. So that's the same prohibition. So example is like this: the worm halolo divrei shachatz v'gaivahem. They're things which are they're boasting and gaiva. V'loy be'elech helek Yaakov. That's not what Yaakov was Klal Yisrael was about. They don't try and boast to present themselves, etc. So a person would wear a garment or something which he wants to do, just his whole goal is to show off and be noticed, right? So a person would take a thing and put like big stars all over his you know, cover himself with like 75 metal stars and go out into the middle of the street and say, I'm here, right? Why are you doing that? Because actresses do that, you know. It's like, you're weird, right? You know, why are you doing that? That's not the way of a Jew. So that's because so that would be prohibited. But if I have a reason, I need you to notice because I need to stop the cards because I need help. So my goal over here is that I can't. I'm saying stop. Nobody's helping me. So I said, you know, let's go and look like this. And everybody stops. Okay, I need. I have a reason why I'm doing it besides just the gaiva. That would be mutter. So he says that's when the Moor says that there's a minute, you know, that there's a minute not wearing red clothing. Where's the color? Red was a color which represented the idea of standing out very much. He says that goes into this prohibition because the goal was the shachetz and the gaiva to be noticed, etc. So that would be prohibited, even though some people, Jewish people, do it, but that's not the point. The point is that the concept is a non-Jewish concept. So we're having from him two examples. Either someone which is, there's no logic behind it, so then it's prohibited because why you're doing it to be like that. Or there is a logic behind it, but it's a logic which we don't subscribe to. Okay, let's. The Rambam points out that the Ran and the Marik are fairly similar. They're both saying that there was this point of logic or not logic, but the Ran adds a point of there's Avodah Zorah involved. The Marik doesn't mention anything about Avodah Zorah. There's no Avodah Zorah mentioned in the Marik. So on page number 10, the first column over there, he brings. I'm looking in the first underlines. After the plegi, it's the end of that paragraph, the last three lines of the paragraph. But they seem to be arguing in a case where there's no avodah zarah element. So according to the Ran and the Ramah seem to follow the Ram, that has to be there's some element. Seemingly there's some element of avodah zarah involved. The Marik said then it's usher, otherwise not. And the Marik says no. If it's not, it's no logic at all. You're doing it. You're doing because that's like the goyim. That's going to be usher. Okay. So let's just rush on page number 11. He said like this. Begadim sheyesh again on the underline on page number 11. Begadim sheyesh behem preaches mamish. We have clothing which is we're person improperly clad. It's preaches there. It's showing the person showing off their body. It became a new style nowadays that the women wear such clothing. They're not goyish of clothing. The Jewish women are wearing them also. But the whole idea of wearing clothing, which is preetzus, where do we get that from? Jews don't do that. That's a non-Jewish value. That's not a Jewish value. Ulai. Yesh lahachshav mechukas ha'akum. Amel yesh lesser begodim elu the Israelis levadin in a preetzus mitzad atzma gam mitzad mabushi nocher. So it comes out of a Jewish woman who follows the styles and wears clothing which is not tznius. It's preetzus dick would be over this at the right of mechukas emlo shalecha because they're following the non-Jewish values of wearing such clothing. That would come out even though again it's according to the Marik. The Rambam in the middle says that he thinks the Rambam agrees to the concept of the Marik at the end. You don't need a Avodah Zorah element to make it prohibited. We'll see that the Rambam also seems to say like that. Okay, page number 12. And Holcha Mechukas of the Chachamim, this is the Rambam, we don't go in their ways. We don't wear the same type of clothing. Not the same type of hair. It's all the same idea, which is don't be like them. So the same way we have different ideologies and different beliefs than they do, we also have a different way to dress. So the Beis Yosef, when he quotes the Rambam, he says it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to wear different type of clothing. But it means this idea of preetzus, and they have clothing which they want to reveal and to show and to call attention to themselves. That's not a Jewish value, and that's the idea that Rambam means. That's how he understands this Rambam. And that's we come out according to that, and Rabbi Yosef also has a tshuva. He says if a woman wears clothing which is the new style, and it's preetzus, etc., she would be over the right of B'chukas
Emelos Eleichu. Only if it's preetzus?
He seems to say, like Rambam says, if you're doing it, and it's because it's the element of preetzus, mm-hmm. even though the Jewish woman wearing it also, so you can't say it's medafka goyish clothing, right? If the theoretically, according to the Marik, if someone which is hushin shtus and have, it would also be the same problem. Like all of a sudden, they made the new style is that everybody has to wear their clothing backwards. So, well, I have to wear my clothing backwards. Why are you doing that? Because some guy in Paris said so. So that's also be yisad the raisa b'chukav esayim l'shalich. Okay. Now, halacha lemaisa, we're going to skip page 13. So far, we have this strong flow. We have a Gemara in the Sanhedrin which seems to say that even though there's a logic, it doesn't help if you're getting it from them. We have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah seems to say that if it's a logic, it's mutter. We had a Tosafot which asked this contradiction and gave one teretz, there's a difference between a chayk for avodah zarah and a chayk stam. And that's how you would understand the Gemaras. The Ritva learned that it was a machlokes between two Gemaras, and the Iker Pesach is like the Gemaras in Hedron, that even if there's a logic, if you got it from them, it's aser. We have the Marik and the Ran, which are going not like that, and saying if there's a logic, it's mutter. And they're arguing whether you have to, avodah zarah plays a role over here or not. That's what we have so far. So according to the Ritva, even if there's a logic, if you got it, you learn from the Goyim, it's going to be aser. So according to the Ritva, Alachar, wearing that coat, even though it's a logical thing, but you got it from the Goyim, so it's going to be prohibited. The Marik said that's mutter, the Ran said that's mutter, because that there's a logic behind it, and this is only something that's not, that doesn't have a logic behind it. So what are we paskin lemaisis? So there are more paskins in the Siman Kufayin Ches, or the Kufayin Ches, there are more paskins like the Ran. There are more paskins like the Ran. So he starts off that you should not be like the Goyim. El Yehi Muvdo Mehem B'Mabusha V'Shar Maisev. The prohibition is something which either there is a non-Jewish value behind it. They would wear red clothing. They would wear this clothing which is not proper. Or there's no logic behind it. So those are the two chukim of the Goyim. So he took the concept of the Marik, that you could have something which is there's a logic behind it, but the logic is not a value that we accept. Or there's no logic behind it, and both of those are prohibited. But then he adds the Ran. Maybe it came from Avodah Zarah. Now, Marik doesn't say that. The Ran says that. That's what Marsha points out. They did it for a good reason. For example, the Rifa Uman Mutter loves he can wear this garment. And he said, that's the Marik. Then he gives it. So he seems to combine the Marik and the Maran, and the Ran. So that's what Marsha says. If you're learning the Marik and say, that's the Iker Pesach, you can't tell me you need a Avodah Zarah. He says, what it means is you want to be part of their society which believes in these type of things. That's the prohibition. The Gro comes along and says, well, what happened to the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Right, what happened to the Gemara in Sanhedrin? So the next page, the Gro, I blew up the Gro, made it a little bit larger and a little bit easier to follow. So it's in the left column of the Bira Gro. Sanhedrin and Bays, Mashmal happened. It's not like this, that's not the issue. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says one way. The Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to not like that. Even though there's a good logic, it's going to be Osir. Then he sends it to the Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, right? Which he believes that the Tosfos and Avodah Zarah is not going to come out like the Ran or the Marik. And he says that you look at the next piece where he says the Likut. But I disagree with them because the Mor Sanhedrin. And I explained in the previous piece they answer them. I don't accept it. The Karl Osir, everything is Osir. Rak Dafka Lumen Mehem Osir. But if you got it from them, it's Osir. That's the bottom line. Even if someone is logical, but if you got it from the non-Jews, that's the prohibition. So the Groa has quite a different view of the Isser than the Marik has. Okay. So, interestingly enough, so it's today's Thanksgiving, right? So, would it be celebrating Thanksgiving be considered going b'chukas ha'akum? That's a fair question, right? Right? So, here we have it. Once a year, everybody gets together and they eat turkey, right? That sounds like. Okay. Now you can argue there's a reason behind it. The reason behind it is it's Thanksgiving for that which occurred once upon a time. Right? So, first of all, they didn't have turkey when they had by that meal. They had corn. They didn't have turkey. So, that seems to be documented. So, why are we eating turkey? Because somebody decided we should eat turkey. So that sounds strange. So you're doing chukzakim. Because I eat turkey, I eat turkey also. Why are you doing that? So, that should be a problem. So, Rav Moshe was asked this question. says also the question is like, you know, if you tell me that this was a seminal moment in the history of the United States of America, and without that we wouldn't have the United States of America, right? That might be a good argument. It's probably not logical. There were other settlements besides. Jamestown was already in existence. Jamestown was functioning. Other people were coming after them. They came right at the beginning of the winter. They were starving. The next people realized you should come at the beginning of the spring, and they wouldn't be starving. They have time to plant something. This is the seminal moment which why America still exists. Not logical. The truth is that Thanksgiving wasn't established until 1863. But one woman decided it's a good idea to do it, and she kept writing letters to the president. And finally, the fifth president she wrote letters to was Lincoln, and Lincoln said yes. In the middle of the Civil War, he said, you know, it would be a nice thing to make another holiday. People should feel good about something. Let's make this holiday. So you can't say there was, like, you know, something which was, like, necessarily a logic behind it, that they felt, like, for years, everybody thought, wow, this is so important to our lives. We have to have this, you know. Really. One day, some lady, you know, started writing, you know, letters to the presidents. We should have a day of Thanksgiving commemorating what happened to the Puritans, in, you know, in 1620. Okay. Arguments. So 200 years later, they finally made this day as a holiday. So why are we doing this? Okay. So is it mutter or not? So Rav Moshe has three tshuvas about it. Okay. And he says, one tshuva he says it's aser. One tshuva he says it's mutter. One tshuva he says, well, what is it? Aser or mutter? Make up your mind. So somebody asks him, like, what do you mean? So he gives an answer to that question. Let's see what we have. With our Thanksgiving, you see on the left column, ois vav. So that's how you spell Thanksgiving in Hebrew. If you want to use Thanksgiving as a day to make a chasna, it's a great day to make a chasna. You know, everybody's off from work. Great time to make a chasna. You're not going to be also to make a chasna because it's Thanksgiving. No problem with that. A Baal Nefesh should be machmer. He shouldn't necessarily use Thanksgiving as a good time to make a chasna. I will also simcha v'suda l'kovet Thanksgiving. Yes, but lesser midinah. But to make a Thanksgiving dinner in honor of Thanksgiving, I would say that would be prohibited. And he says it's not because it was a holiday, a religious holiday, because it wasn't a religious holiday. It wasn't made up by the priests, as a matter of fact. It was made up by, you know, this woman, Sarah, whatever her name was, and the President Lincoln, right? But even so, but the problem is, it goes into the problem of a chayk to of a Zara, which he would see that that's going to be problematic. So that is... That's the first shuva that he has. Page number 18, he has the second shuva. Is it also is valid? But the bar heshtatus b'mishem achivim yoma haidoya Thanksgiving ke'ein chag lasses b'sura. The people who make this like a special day in order to make a special meal in elachar mikivin shemasipre dosim lahuska yom zelachag. It's not part of the religious holidays. They don't say anywhere that you have to have a meal on this day. It's a day of memory for the people of this country. A person also is happy that we have this country functioning. I don't see there's any problem in making a suit out of it. Lobachilas tarnagol hodu indik, which means a turkey. I don't see a problem eating turkey. Aval and Isarvad the Mikamakam also in the next paragraph, Lasus Yam Kabua Bishan al Khaigset. But to make it a kavis that you must do this. You want to celebrate? You know, you say, well, I've been here in this country for 10 years. They've been so nice to me. I want to celebrate. There's no work today. Why not? Let's have a big meal. And it happens to be turkeys are on sale. Great idea. Why not? Make turkeys. Like, this is such a great idea. And it happens to be the pecan pie is also available. Pumpkin pie is also available. I went into the... And that's all they had. So no. So I ate pumpkin pie. And cranberry sauce is also on sale. So I ended up with a meal which has turkey, cranberry sauce, and pumpkin pie. And come on, because I'm a happy guy. Why? Because I'm a happy guy. No problem. But every year you have to do this because that's part of Thanksgiving. That's already going to become usher. That would be usher to do that. That's, you're making a chayk out of it, which doesn't seem to be true. Okay, so that's the Rosh's second chuva, which Rosh's matzer is. So chuva number three, it's also on the same page. And then he, you know, said in the other two chuvas, it was like one part of a larger chuva and other topics. This chuva is about this issue. So it's written to Mordechai Tendler, his grandson, and he asked him, I don't understand, we have a steer between the two chuvas that you wrote. So you can please explain what your position is. And in your my daughter, the artist of Bris, Thanksgiving, she said, look, Mikar B'chadish Eir, Shanazu Kasavti, I said, Shalasoy Simcha V'sudu L'Kvara Yom at Thanksgiving, Yesh Lesu Medina. I said, in the first shoe I showed you on page 17, that it's also Medin. Not because it's religious. Okay, that was the first tshuva. To a different person I wrote, I don't see that it's usher. So you're right to ask me that I have one tshuva says that it's usher, one tshuva says that it's mutter. Where do I stand? I did say there's no issur to eat. Lo b'si'a simcha basuda, you can make a meal. Lo b'chilas tarnagol hodu, you can have turkey. Avavari also the kriyas and the chayver lemitzvah, you can't make it. That you must do it. It's a responsibility. You must do. El simchas rishus b'pamzeh b'vayf and aroy. You can do it because you're doing it right now, not because we know. Well, we will see you again, of course, in a year from now, because everybody has to be back again. I'm not doing that. You know, this we're making this simple right now. We want to have a good time together. Because yuchol gam b'shanacheres lasses can. You want to do it again in the future? It's also mutter. Now, so next paragraph. So is this a prohibition or not? When you read the Ramah, the Ramah says it has to be Shemitz of Avodah Zarah. It has to have an underlying of Avodah Zarah possibility. We know that's not true over here. So why would it be Asur? Right? It's not something which is illogical. It's not something which is Avodah Zarah. So why would I say that it's usher? Okay, so we're a little bit running over time. I'm not going to go through the whole thing inside.
It's a holiday.
What?
It's a holiday.
It's a holiday. People have to get somewhere, right? So I'm not going to go through the whole thing inside. His presentation is the following. You see from the Marik that the issue of Avodah Zarah is not the main point. The point was you're following their ways because you want to be like them. Right, that's what they do, so I do it too, even though there's no logic behind it. A. The Ramah agrees to that. But the Ramah did not mean that there's a Avodah Zarah. He meant this concept of being like the nations around us, which we feel that they would dictate the proper way that we should act. Because you want to be like them, that's not acceptable. Number two. Number three, I don't really hear logically that this is called a valid reason. We suffer the more in Sanhedrin, especially according to the Gra, even if there's a good reason, we would not accept it. Over here, but it says, you know, so when we say that there's the other option is shtus, you know, you can have something which I can make an argument, but if it doesn't, it's not really a compelling argument, that's also going to be problematic. So the compelling argument of Thanksgiving with turkey, I don't see. I really don't see any compelling argument for that. So really, I believe it should be usher, from Russian 6. However, since I can't tell you there isn't any logic behind it, so I could hear what I said in my second shuva, that you could argue that's not really prohibited. I can't tell you definitively that it's prohibited, but that's clear. If you make it a convenience that you must do it, that's definitely problematic. So, but you want to know what I personally hold? I really feel much more that my first shuva is correct, because I don't really see there's any compelling logic behind it, and therefore I would believe that it would be prohibited, even though with Derech HaRoy. But I can't tell you definitively that that's true. That's why I wrote the second shuva, that I wrote this other chacham, that I can't tell you that definitely it's usher. But that which I would feel definitely true, that to make it as a kvias that you must do this is, you know, part of, what do you mean? We're part of American society. And everybody knows this. We have to do it. And once you say that sentence, you're in trouble. That you're making into a chayk, and this is what we have to do. That would be problematic. So that's where Moshe stands on the issue. There are not so many other chumas written on it that I know about. And you can definitely ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Thank you for listening. Have a good Thanksgiving.